This is Radio Superior 1956. A reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's go. Stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
You guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, Tim Michaels are rocking your world. It's a radioactive Wednesday, November 7th, 1956. The DA, Dennis Anderson, has the 6 o'clock news. Cool Cal's in with the sports. Miss Ruthie tells you kittens what to do with a goopy bow. And tonight we ask the question, where is Machine Gun Kelly?
Hey, cousin.
What's buzzing, cousin?
Oh, Machine Gun's got bags full of nickels and dimes, and I'll be tossing them from a tree. The big tickle is, you gotta find this crazy cat.
So what's the locale? I could use some coin myself.
Can't say. It's part of the bit, man. All I can say is I'm in Superior, and the clue is nickels and dimes.
That's what you're throwing?
That's solid, King Timothy. That's also a hint about where to find me. Dig?
I can dig it. Give me a buzz when you're ready to toss another clue, because I am absolutely clueless right now.
That's what we all say behind your back, King Timothy.
You didn't have to repeat it.
Okay, well, I'm going to agitate some gravel now, get my chariot in gear. See you, cats and kittens, at Nickels and Dimes.
Stack's Department Store is footing the bill for tonight's news. Stack's Toyland is now open for Christmas shopping. They've got a musical rocker for just $7.50 and a Roy Rogers holster starting at $1.69. Stack's in downtown Superior is all yours, Big Denny.
Thanks, Tim, and good evening, everybody. The Eisenhower-Nixon ticket wins in a landslide. Thompson narrowly defeats Proxmire for Wisconsin governor. The Soviets get the upper hand against rebels in Hungary. And radioactive fallout readings return to normal over the U.S. We begin our world report from Washington.
This is Jack Bell, Associated Press. President Dwight Eisenhower's second term landslide piled to increasingly mountainous proportions today, but the Democrats continued to control Congress. Eisenhower's great popular endorsement over Adlai Stevenson swelled toward 9 million votes over the former Illinois governor. He ran ahead in 41 states. Returns from the House contests show 222 Democrats elected and 197 Republicans. Democrats elected 49 senators, the number required for control. It was the first time in more than 100 years that the presidential candidate of one party won while the opposition party took both houses of Congress. Stevenson was crushed under a tremendous vote of confidence for the 66-year-old president, who suffered a heart attack last year and underwent an abdominal operation last June. Eisenhower says that with his victory, quote, modern republicanism has now proved itself, and America has approved modern republicanism. It will point the way to peace among nations and to prosperity, advancing standards here at home in which everybody will share, regardless of station, of race, religion, or color.
This is a solemn moment. The only thing I should like to say about this campaign is this. It is a very heartwarming experience to know that your labors, your efforts of 4 years have achieved that level where they are approved by the United States of America in a vote. With whatever talents the good God has given me, with whatever strength there is within me, I will continue, and so will my associates, to do just one thing, to work for 168 million Americans here at home and for peace in the world. That is all.
Eisenhower got 58% of the vote compared with 55% 4 years ago. A little red-eyed, Stevenson formally conceded at 1:20 a.m. He sent Eisenhower a telegram which read, "You have won not only the election, but also an expression of great confidence of the American people. I send you my warm congratulations. Tonight, we are not Republicans and Democrats, but Americans. We appreciate the great difficulties your administration faces, and as Americans, join in wishing you success in the years that lie ahead." End message. In a talk to Democratic workers, some of whom were openly crying, Stevenson said, quote, "As for me, let there be no tears, for if I have lost an election, I have won a grandchild," end quote. He was referring to the recent birth of Adlai Stevenson IV. Eisenhower's victories in the South were attributed to the moderate stand he took on the Supreme Court's 1954 desegregation ruling in Brown versus the Board of Education. Eisenhower said it made no difference whether he endorsed the opinion or not. It is the law of the land. Eisenhower's re-election made Nixon one of the top contenders for the party's 1960 presidential nomination. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is Ernest B. Vaccaro in Chicago. Adlai Stevenson took his crushing defeat at the hands of Dwight Eisenhower today with a smile on his face and a quip on his lips. It wasn't that it didn't hurt. He frankly confessed his disappointment. He told hundreds of disheartened volunteers jammed into a Conrad Hilton ballroom and millions who watched on their television sets, quote, "Our cause will ultimately prevail." Would he try for the presidency again in 1960? Quoting again, "I'm a candidate for bed." His more formal note was sounded shortly after midnight when he left his suite to tell supporters, quote, "To you who are disappointed tonight, let me confess that I am too. But we must not be disheartened, for there is radiance and glory in the darkness. Could we but see, and to see, we have only to look." Ending with a quote from 15th century writer Fra Giovanni Giocondo. He confided to reporters and friends after his concession speech that he couldn't have beaten Eisenhower anyway, especially after the war began in the Middle East and people became convinced they had to keep a general in the White House. Adlai Stevenson had some cards stacked against him from the start, but he didn't make the most of the cards he held. One reason, because people are content and the issues were thin. But were they thin because Stevenson and Eisenhower basically have the same views on domestic and foreign problems and their solutions? This meant Stevenson had to strain to point out differences between him and Eisenhower. At times, he seemed to be floundering around to find an issue. For example, his proposals toward ending the draft and H-bomb tests. In Chicago, this is Ernest B. Vaccaro.
This is London, Harold E. Brown, International News Service. Israel today announced occupation of the entire Gaza Strip and claimed other smashing victories in ground action against Egyptian forces. The French Defense Ministry says Egypt's air force has been completely put out of fighting condition by repeated poundings from British-French air forces. A spokesman from Israeli Army headquarters in Tel Aviv reported the surrender of Gaza City, the Egyptian headquarters for the Gaza Strip. It fell after a tank-led Israeli task force smashed into the city. The surrender put the entire strip in Israeli hands. The Gaza Territory, a 25-by-8-mile finger of land separating the southern end of Israel from the Mediterranean, has long been a center of Israeli-Egyptian border troubles. Elimination of the Fedayeen, or commando bases, in the area was an Israeli objective in its thrust into Egypt, which began 9 days ago. The British Air Ministry in London says Royal Air Force heavy and medium bombers are keeping up their non-stop strikes against the Egyptian air bases today, with no British aircraft reported missing. British bombers have knocked out Egypt's propaganda station, Voice of Arabia, just west of Cairo, with bombs chalked, quote, "Rock and roll for NASA," unquote. Egyptian Army headquarters say a fishing vessel sunk by enemy air bombardment has blocked the southern entrance to the Suez Canal, the second vessel sunk in the 103-mile-long waterway obstructing navigation. The Israeli spokesman says fighting in the central Sinai desert is progressing. Israeli forces claimed earlier they had captured the Sinai, routing some 20,000 Egyptian troops. Egyptian President Abdel Nasser says the main body of Egypt's forces in the Sinai are being pulled back to defend the Suez Canal and the Nile Delta. The Israeli embassy in Washington estimates Egyptian casualties, killed, wounded, and captured, at 5,000. Israeli casualties are estimated at less than 100 killed. In London, this is your correspondent, Harold E. Brown, INS.
This is Bill Cortez in Melbourne. Five teams have withdrawn from the Olympic Games as time for the world's biggest sports spectacle approaches for the Summer Olympics in Australia. Latest countries to quit the Olympics are Communist China, Holland, and Spain. Peking Radio says China refused to send a team because the International Olympic persists in recognizing the Olympic Committee of Formosa, otherwise known as Taiwan. Egypt withdrew its team in August. Iraq pulled out last week because of the grave Middle Eastern situation. Switzerland is under pressure from groups protesting the Russian suppression of the Hungarian freedom movement. Several prominent members of the Swiss Olympic Committee have expressed the view that Swiss athletes should not compete against Russians. Holland followed the advice of the Dutch Sports Federation, which urged the Netherlands Olympic Committee to withdraw unless the Soviet Union is banned from the Games, which are due to open in Melbourne November 22nd. In Stockholm, the Swedish Olympic Committee called an emergency meeting, but finally decided to go ahead. in Melbourne, this is Bill Cortez.
Radioactive fallout at the Michigan State Health Department's testing station has returned to normal. The department says results are well within normal limits as of October 31st, a week ago. Scientists in state health departments around the country recorded an increase of up to 20 times normal in the latter part of September. And although President Eisenhower has said Secretary of State John Foster Dulles will be back on the job as soon as he recovers from an operation which removed a cancerous section of his intestine, there is speculation the 68-year-old may step down soon. His policy since taking the job when Eisenhower took office in 1953 is containment of communism. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Now Tim Michaels has this message from Stack's Department Store.
Hey, Stack's Department Store has a big special going on Christmas right around the corner, and Stack's Toy Line is got some hot buys for you. Here's where the letters to Santa get answered, but you better shop early. Now they've got a musical rocker for just $7.50. A play schoolhouse, $6. Tea sets, $1.95 to $5.98. Golden typewriter, $3.98. Phonograph and records, $9.98. The enchanting land of playtime is open, and the gifts are really something special this year. So if you're smart and an early Santa, choose your toys all you need first, and we'll hide them for you. You'll be assured of the cream of the crop. Feature just a few of the wonderful selections at the downtown store. That's Stack's Toyland, located at 13th and Tower Superior. Denny?
We've just gotten word that the WEBC radio building in Duluth is on fire. On the scene is Superior Evening Telegram reporter Marjorie Slotin. What's the situation, Marge?
I'm on the 10th floor, Denny, of a neighboring medical arts building, so I can look down at the radio building. I see fire with dense yellow smoke and streams of water used to fight the flames. All of this threatens to destroy the WEBC building at 4th Avenue West and Superior Street in Duluth. 100 people were evacuated from the radio grill on the ground level. So far, no one has been hurt. An 85-foot-high fire truck ladder rescued WEBC announcer Jimmy Payton. The fire apparently started on the west side of the building where new construction is underway. The fire is just now under control. It's being fought by three companies, eight engines and two trucks. Duluth Fire Chief Edward Blasky says he is concerned about his men. He says the roof is starting to cave in.
How about the other businesses in that building?
Smoke is billowing out of windows in the building, which besides WEBC houses an optometrist office, Whitney Cole and Coke, the Radio Grill, New York Life, and Mutual of Omaha offices, Dunning & Dunning Insurance, and Morris Jewelers.
So apparently the fire was well underway before fire crews got there?
It would seem so, Denny. Fire department officials say WEBC broadcaster Don Mason reported the fire when he saw smoke coming through a ventilator in the radio office.
Superior Evening Telegram reporter Marjorie Slotin. In state election news, 51-year-old Republican Vernon Thompson won a close race for governor yesterday. The loser is 41-year-old William Proxmire, who many thought had the best chance of any Democrat to gain the top state position since it was last held in 1934. Proxmire lost by about 80,000 votes out of almost 1.5 million votes cast. Thompson has been attorney general for the past 6 years. Proxmire made his third unsuccessful bid for governor. He had worked almost daily for the past 6 years with one goal in mind, to become governor. In presidential balloting, Wisconsin gave President Eisenhower 951,000 votes to Adlai Stevenson's 583,000. Republican Senator Alexander Wiley has returned to office, taking an early lead over his opponent, Henry Mayer, that was never threatened. The 72-year-old from Chippewa Falls was first elected to the U.S. Senate in 1938. Republican Congressman Alvin O.K. Okonski of Mercer rolled to an easy victory, polling 67,000 votes to 36,000 for Democratic State Senator Carl Lorry of Superior. Democratic Senate candidate John Lynch, who lost to incumbent Lawrence Hagan of Superior by an unofficial 44 votes, says he will probably ask for a recount. Democrat Louis Bannock is the new Douglas County Sheriff. He got twice the votes of challenger George Ramstead. That's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind, especially to Machine Gun Kelly, wherever he is.
That's what's happening from Dennis Anderson. So the British wrote Rock and Roll Nasser on bombs.
The Tommies apparently like the new music as much as they dislike Nasser.
The scoop from the Weather Bureau in Duluth isn't for a cool this Wednesday, November 7th, 1956. It's downright frosty. We can get some light snow tonight with the mercury at 25, rising to only 35 with Mr. Sunshine kind of poking his head out tomorrow. Right now, the Drifters, here's Ruby Baby on Kickin' KUWS. Time I see you, baby, my heart cries. That Ruby must be some kind of baby. From Atlantic Records, the Drifters on Kickin' KUWS. Hey, cats and kittens, the focus is on the future as the Douglas County Anti-Tuberculosis Association gets ready to launch the 50th annual Christmas Seal Drive next week. Now, I've got Anti-TB Chairman Al Arlosky on the horn. You looking for some bread, man?
No, we don't want any food donations, just money. And call me Phil.
Why not L?
Because my name's Phil. You got my name wrong.
I should just stick to calling everybody Clyde.
Well, money will be used to fight TB right here at home. Middle River Sanatorium Director Dr. Sandell says improved methods of treatment have dramatically reduced the number of people who die from tuberculosis each year in Superior and Douglas County. So I urge you to join the Christmas Seal Parade and stamp out TB. The fun drive begins November 15th. As you rock and roll, people say, be there or be square.
Right-o, daddy-o. Stamp out TB with stamps. I get it, daddy. Thanks, Al. Call me Phil Arlosky with the Douglas County Anti-TB Campaign.
And one more thing. Where's Machine Gun Kelly? Everybody's talking about it around the office.
I don't know, man. All he said he was going to do is throw nickels and dimes at nickels and dimes. Well, let's slow things down with Ray Charles, Drown in My Own Tears. Nothing like the blues to make you happy on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
It brings child, my poor intent.
Number one of the R&B charts this year from Atlantic Records, Ray Charles and Drowning My Own Tears on Swayin' KUWS. You're on, Big Gun.
Love that soul, baby.
You got everybody talking about Where's Machine Gun Kelly?
Better than all that junk in Egypt and Hungary and stuff.
Slipped out of the MGK character.
I hate it when that happens. Lame. But the word from the bird is nickels and dimes, Clyde. I found my tree. Joe the engineer just hooked up some extra way-long wire from the phone, and I'm going to climb a tree, toss some coins, and broadcast live.
How about another hint, Gun? Everybody's buzzing about there's nowhere for them to land.
Unreal. It's so obvious, even guys with flat tops can figure it out. I got clams to toss, and the cool kids will find me. Bet on it, baby. That's why you should stay in school. See you later, alligator.
In a while, Crocodile, where do you think the Big Gun is, Denny?
I don't know, and I don't care for riddles. They frustrate me. Anyway, it's time for a minute with Miss Ruthie. Hi, Ruthie.
Are you the kind to wear your underwear around the house on weekends?
Yes.
I'm not even wearing any now.
Usually this is a minute with just us girls, but men, this minute is for you. This is an answer to a plea by a number of wives who claim that even though they love their husbands, they get sick and tired of their sloppy dress around home. One wife tells Miss Ruthie, "My husband's idea of a perfect weekend is never to go anywhere that will necessitate his shaving or getting into decent-looking clothes. From Friday night to Monday morning, he looks as though he had just hopped off a passing freight train."
Cool look.
It's a compliment of the wife that her husband feels like he can be himself.
It isn't cool, and it isn't a compliment, men. Still, another wife complains, "My husband goes around the home in work pants and an undershirt. If he went barefoot, he'd be a character right out of Tobacco Road." So, men, with all the good-looking sportswear on the market, surely you can find something to wear that's comfortable without offending wife and dog. If you expect your wife to be all dolled up and pretty for you, you can at least look halfway human instead of a hobo.
Well, what's the point of a weekend if you can't be unshaven, unshowered, barefooted, and t-shirted?
She didn't mention not showering.
It completes the ensemble nicely. So, Ruthie, any ideas where Machine Gun Kelly is with his bags of nickels and dimes? I figure there's lots of clues. Just look for a goofy guy with bags of nickels and dimes. In a tree that apparently has a phone booth, there'll be a traffic jam and another arrest. He's got his own cell in the Gray Bar Hotel.
It's obvious. It's at the Blaine School. That's where the Christmas Eel Drive headquarters are. They want your nickels and dimes, maybe, like the March of Dimes?
Or like Timmy alluded to, we can just call the police station. They're sure to get a report about a guy hauling bags of coin up a tree with a long phone cord. Guaranteed he'll have ripped his pants and looks like a weekend husband.
It's a real head-scratcher. Let's play a KUWS twin spin! A pair of doo-wop numbers, first lovers, and Devil or Angel on the Tim Michaels Dance Party, or Where's Machine Gun Kelly Dance Party.
Devil or Angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and find. Devil or angel, there whichever you are, I miss you, I miss you. Devil or angel, please say you'll be mine. Love me or leave me, I'll go out of my mind. Devil or angel, there whichever you are, I need you, I need you, I need you. You look like an angel, your smile is divine, but you keep me guessing, will you ever be mine?
is the KUWS Twin Spin. Now from the cream of the crop, from the top of the pops, from the stack in the back of the wax, here come the five satins in the still of the night on the Tim Michaels Dance Party. Five Satins, and in the still of the night with the Clovers, and Devil or Angel before that on KUWS Doo-Wop with a twin spin. Now, Cool Cal Sabatini is in with Dope on the Game, so quick, Cal, where is Machine Gun Kelly?
It's so obvious. You'd have to be out to lunch not to figure that one out.
Cool Cal knows, but what about all those hockey pucks that hit your head? Didn't that leave a mark?
The pucks may be a savant. Let's face off, fans. John Brody of Stanford appears to have the Major League College Passing Championship all wrapped up, but he's involved in a battle with Paul Horning of Notre Dame for a total offense honors. Horning, incidentally, is the only major college player who has gained more than half his team's total yards. Vic Wirtz, whose recovery from polio last year gave renewed hope to similarly afflicted thousands, made the American League comeback of the year in 1956. Wirtz got 105 of the 178 Baseball Writers Association of America votes. The Cleveland first baseman and one of the game's outstanding sluggers walloped 32 home runs, driving in 106 runs. He was second in the American League in homers and third in RBIs. Ed Bailey contributed 28 home runs to Cincinnati's Major League record, equaling output of 221. He was voted the National League Sophomore of the Year in 1956. The 25-year-old catcher barely beat out the Redbirds' Ken Boyer for the award. Pittsburgh outfielder Bill Verdon wound up third in the voting, relief pitcher Don Besson of Brooklyn fourth, and another Pirate outfielder Roberto Clemente had the fifth spot. Gertrude, the great gray goose, will have her day Friday when the Superior State Yellow Jackets will take on the UMD Bulldogs in the final game of the season at Memorial Field. Strangely enough, that is the new official title for the annual classic between the two clubs. It all began last week when a group of SSC students went hunting around the UMD campus and came up with Gertrude. When it was discovered that Gertrude had flown the coop, UMD students came to Superior and recovered the stuffed goose but Yellow Jacket supporters are not to be denied. It was less than 24 hours later when Gertrude found a new hiding place in Superior. UMD students haven't been able to find her since. Maybe the gander is with Machine Gun Kelly. Meanwhile, SSE coach Mertz Mortarelli is busy preparing his boys for the expected tough encounter. Quoting Mertz, "We know UMD will be up for this game. We've had tough contests for the past 3 years. This is Cal Sabatini, hoping all your face-offs are friendly."
Denny called the Blaine School, and Gun's not there. I called Lignell Drugstore, People's Pharmacy, Hopkins Drug, and asked them if they'd had a guy up a tree.
What'd they say?
Lignell's told me to lay up the cough medicine. The People's guy said I was out to lunch, and Hopkins Drug thought I was a character. But hey, man, I figure drugstores are five and dime stores, and the Gun would be at some soda fountain.
I called City Hall, since they nickel and dime you to death.
Good idea there, Denny Daddy-O, but no MG Kelly?
No, and they said they like Lou Martin on the radio instead of me. Riddles really annoy me.
Nickel and dime guys. That'd be Fifth Street and Roosevelt Avenue. You know, nickel is five and Roosevelt is on the dime.
Cool Kells got the Jets working. Check it out, Denny, and I'll get Gun on the horn. Hey, here's Elvis and Selvas on the Tim Michaels Dance Party. Woof, woof!
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
That's a blast. Elvis Presley and Hound Dog on the RCA label on Kick and KUWS. Elvis played Hound Dog in the Milton Berle show last June. And on Ed Sullivan's show, they just showed him from the waist up waving his little finger. But it still knocked the kitten's socks off. Truth be told, though, Big Mama Thornton first cut that disc in 1952 as a blues tune. Hey, we've got Machine Gun Kelly on the horn. What's buzzing, cousin?
Hey, that disc created a major buzz. Hound Dog's flip side is Don't Be Cruel. Both hit number one this year. Crazy stuff. Second thing that's buzzing is a crowd here at Fifth and Roosevelt. I'm tossing silver and copper from a tree, and these cats and kittens are going loco. Traffic's tied up in knots, man. It is unreal. And I hit some dude in the eye with a nickel. He looks like he's going to climb my tree. I hate getting pounded in a tree.
He's looking through one red eye?
Both his eyes are red, man. Hey, you got to give me five because old red eye is frosted, and I've got to make my great escape. Later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile. Although the last word comes from Denny Anderson tonight. Then we'll call it a show.
Thanks, Tim. Well, the election is over, and if these were normal times, the country would be safe for another 4 years. But today, nothing really seems safe from change for even the next 4 minutes. The world used to operate on a sensible basis. It would have a big depression every 10 years and a big war every 20 or 25 years. This gave people time in between to make love or look up at the stars for comfort. A man doesn't mind so much getting an ulcer from earning a living, paying off his mortgage and keeping his kids in school and out of JV. It's the extra ulcer he gets that bothers him, the one caused by his monotonous mental diet, a diet of crises. You get a warmed-over old crisis for breakfast, a half-baked later crisis for lunch, and a brand-new raw crisis for dinner. The mind simply can't stomach them all. If it ain't a crisis over maybe the hydrogen bomb will fall, it's a crisis over maybe the cost of living will go up. The climate is getting warmer, and in another 10,000 years, just when I finally finish paying off my house, the country may be one vast desert. And what'll that do to my property value? Then there's always the crisis over peace. World peace seems to be pretty much like prosperity in America. It isn't a fixed thing, but it's based on the installment plan, Tim.
Don't worry, Denny. This is America, man, and cats and kittens will fix the broken things. They're getting more education, more gadgets, more breaks than any generation.
And installments aren't a bad way to build a country.
Hey, it's time to cut out cats and kittens, but you gotta check out the new cat on KDAL-TV tomorrow morning. He's a captain, and his last name is Kangaroo. That's no jive. And his crew is wild. Dancing Bear, Mr. Moose, Bunny Rabbit, Grandfather Clock, Mr. Green Jeans. Not blue, but green.
Machine Gun Kelly's on the phone again.
Did you get pounded by Red Eye?
No, man. He split.
Hey, that's cool.
It would be, except Officer Mackey is giving me the evil eye now.
The man in blue with a badge?
I think I'm going to get another free ride in his black and white. At least I won't get caught in this traffic jam.
You better climb down, because I'm not climbing up there.
Hey, Officer Mackey, catch me if I jump. Hey, Timmy, I'm going to need bail again, man. Good to see you again, Officer Mackey. Right, Captain Kangaroo? My favorite is Mr. Moose and the ping pong balls. Think I can watch it tomorrow?
The inmates get awful ornery if they can't watch the captain.
Okay, baby.
Oh, I love this job, man. We'll be back same time. Same dog pond, the good Lord willing, and I don't end up rooming with the big gun behind bars. For Denny Anderson and Cool Cal, this is Tim Michaels rocking your world.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1956, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players are Danielle Cady, Kathy Bergren, Bruce McDonald, Tony Jasmine, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1956 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.